Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to home group meeting in December, December 2013. Where has this year gone? It's just amazing. I tell you, beholding His glory, the Lord has really, really been good to beholding His glory. And Karen and I, we have made a couple trips to Romania and Bulgaria. We've ministered nationally, churches, home group meetings. And, you know, the Lord has protected clinics, TV clinics, and Eternity Clinics and the radio station, and the Lord has just been so good, and we just know that that will continue in 2014. In 2014, the Lord already mentioned a couple of things, and there's some things in the works for a trip to Ethiopia. I haven't been to Ethiopia in about 8 or 9 years, and another trip back to Nepal, so please keep those in your prayers and in your spirit, and so the Lord will fulfill that purpose. Amen. Well, let us get back to the wilderness, the wilderness food for modern times. This is wilderness food for modern time number 6, and we'll begin that in a second. But before we get into that one, let's go ahead and just look back at 3 important points from last month that we looked at. 3 critical points actually that we looked at that will help us to get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. Amen. The first point we looked at is we must believe God led us to the place that we find ourselves. I mean, that is a critical point. Most Christians really do not believe that God has led them there. They believe that they themselves or somebody else or even the devil, you know, has done this or whatever. But we must believe that God has led us to the place that we find ourselves in. Have that be on the mountaintop or in the valley. You know, wherever we find ourselves, we got to believe that God has been leading us and He brought us. And because if not, then that means that there's others have powers in our life. That means there's other purposes and intentions in our life that are not of God that will bring us to these different places. And so we must believe that God and God alone is the one that has led us to this place, because He has a plan and a purpose for our life. That is just a critical point. And, you know, we just can't not get that point. It's just so critical in our life. And the second point is fulfillment is impossible outside of limitations and restrictions in our life. Fulfillment is impossible without limitations and restrictions in life, because limitation and restriction in life bring us to fulfillment and completion. Not freedom and liberty and all of the things where we can go and do and say. Because in God, you can't do and say what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. In God, you must restrict yourself to the things that God wants for your life. You must limit yourself to the things that are in the Word of God. You must limit and restrict yourself to the words that God has spoken into your life. You know, it is impossible for us to come to the purpose and the plan that God has for our life outside of restrictions. The more we can walk in limitations and restrictions, the more God will be able to bring the things that He's purposed and planned into our lives. That's another critical point that most Christians never ever address. They never really understand that point. And the last one is, we are either a slave to sin or we are a slave to righteousness. We are either a slave to sin or we are a slave to righteousness. One or the other. We are either saved or we're not saved. We are either walking towards sin or we're walking towards righteousness. There is no middle ground. There's no halfway in between. We are either in the camp of sin or we are in the camp of righteousness. These 3 points were critical as we looked at that last night, and we must get those in our spirit very, very, very well. Amen. Number 6 here, Wilderness Food for Modern Times, number 6, we'll go ahead and look at the verse, Exodus 15:23. It's a very, very interesting verse. It says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. That was Marah, which was Exodus 15:23. Now, you know, this is talking about the children of Israel as they left. As they left the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness of Shur, they walked 3 days out into the wilderness, and they had no water the entire time. And then when they come up to some water, they find some water, and it says that they were bitter. Let me read that again. And when they, that's a plural pronoun, came tomorrow at the throne of Israel, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Now, if it was talking about the water was bitter, then it would say it was bitter. But it didn't. Three times in this verse here it says, they came to Marah. They could not drink of the water, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Wow. The children of Israel feared for their very lives. The danger to life was not imagined, but it was very, very real. Again, they walked 3 days in the desert, and they had no water. Wow. The dangers in the spiritual wilderness are as real as those in the physical. Now that's a critical point right there. So many Christians believe that the physical realm is more important, is more real than the, you know, than the spiritual realm. Well, I'm here to tell you the dangers in the spiritual wildernesses in the spiritual realm are as real as those that are in the physical realm. The children of Israel failed to see the provisions and the purposes of God. The entire 430 years that they were in Egypt, they failed to see those provisions and the purposes of God. And when they left in the Exodus and they were at the Red Sea, they failed to see the purposes and the provisions of God. And today's visions in many Christians is not only better than that of the people under Moses. Many Christians today's They do not understand, and they fail to see the provisions and the purposes that God has for them. God is our provider. We must come to see God and God alone as our provider. So many Christians say, well, I have a good job, I have a good wife, I got a good car, I have good this, you know, my job provides for me. Well, that is not true. It may be, that's what God uses to provide for us, but we must come to the understanding and the purpose and to see that God, and it is God alone that provides for us. God provides for life while He seeks a death in us Christians. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. God provides life, but at the same time, He is seeking a certain death for our Christian. God provides everything that we need. But at the same time God is providing those physical things and those spiritual things, God also is seeking a spiritual death for us Christians. The purposes of God is to bring the individuals into a death to ourself. And this is the only way that He can bring the fulfillment of life into each individual. The only way that God can bring life, that Zoe life, the life in John 10:10 says that the thief comes to destroy, but Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. Well, the only way that we can come into that eternal life is when we allow that spiritual death to happen in ourselves. This is the only way that God can bring fulfillment of His life into us. Amen. Amen. Death is sought. Thus God brought the Israelites to a place where there was no water. Wow. God is leading. Oh, God would never bring us to a place where there's no water. But He did. Death is sought. That spiritual death. God brought that, the children of Israel to a place of no water, and that was a spiritual death for them. Thus God brought them to a place where there was no water. They traveled 3 days into the wilderness of Sir and found no water. This is a death trap, they screamed. Indeed, it is. This is the death of the cross to the carnal man, in order that spiritual man may find his release in God. Unless we die, we will never ever live. John 12:25 says, if you lose your life for my sake, then surely you shall find it. Losing comes first, finding comes second. For us to really come into the life that God has for us, we must come into that spiritual death to our carnal man and to, into ourselves. It is not then God cannot bring that life, that abundant life into our life. The more we can die to ourselves, the more we can die to our desires and our passions and our emotions and all of those things, the more God is able to bring that eternal life, that Zoe life, that abundant life that He wants to bring into our life. And for that to happen, we must die first. We must die first so that we can live, so that God can bring that life into us. Now, water is good. It is a necessity. But what's wrong with having water? Well, nothing's wrong with having water. Yet God brought his people to a place to where there was no water. Now, God could have brought him to a place where there was a bunch of water. I mean, it'd been no problem. God said, let's go over this way, and there's a bunch of water over here. But God did not lead him that way. He did not lead him to a place where there was abundant water. He led him to a place of no water, and that's because he wanted to bring spiritual death into them so that he can bring, you know, so he can work the abundant life into them. Why does God often withhold the good? Many people say that. Well, why does God, you know, withhold the good? And I will tell you, because many believers have never seen God as the good, the only good. Many believers don't look at God as the one that provides everything. Many believers don't look at God as the good. They look at the goods. They look at receiving the good. They look at all of those things, but they never look at God being the only good. Many believers only see that which they want and need as the good. Wow. Believers will see that which God provides and does as good. Many believers do not see that God is the all provider. They see the good, they see the provision, they see God giving it to them, they see all of these things, but they do not see that God is the one. It is not what God does and says is good. It is God. He is good. It is not what God does for us and what God has told us and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and all of that stuff is good. All of that is not good. What is good is God is good. And we must come to the place that we see that God is good. You know, we even as little children, we learn God is great, God is good. You know, we even say that little prayer as we go ahead and we pray over our food as a child and we learn that. But somehow when we get older, we kind of forget about that. We kind of look at this provision is good, or this job, or this good work, or this ministry, or this whatever is good. But all of that is not good. All of that is, yes, it's a part of what God is doing, but we must come to the place to say that it is God that is good. That which pleasantly affects the believer's life is good. It is impossible for God to fulfill himself in an individual who has fulfilled himself with these good things. Let me say that again. This is critical. This is one of the points that we need to really hone in tonight and really allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And that which is pleasantly affects the believer's life is good. It is impossible for God to fulfill himself in an individual who has fulfilled himself with good things. Even the good things of God. We should not be seeking emotion. We should not be seeking an emotional experience with God. We should not be seeking, you know, this or that, you know, from God. We need to be seeking God and God alone. James must have understood this when he wrote, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon yourself. We have so many things of God. We want all of his goods. We want all of his things. And we want all of those things that, you know, we call blessings into our life. And we want those and we ask amiss. You know, we're asking God for all of these. We don't need to be asking for all of those. We just need to be asking for God. And then God will bring those things that we need into our life to fulfill, you know, purpose and the plan that he has for us. You know, we just need to stop asking for all of these things. God, give me this and God, give me that and give me that. Well, God doesn't want to give you all those things. He wants to give you himself. And as he gives you himself, then we will be content with what he gives us. We will be satisfied. Amen. It is not often for God to remove everything from the believer in order that he may become everything to the believer. Wow. Let me read that again. Very, very a critical point. It is often necessary for God to remove everything from the believer in order that he may become everything to a believer. When I came back from Romania and Bulgaria, I had a wonderful opportunity to go off with Gerald Frizzell, and we went to prison. We went up to Pamlico Prison and had an opportunity to share it with the prisoners. And as I was sitting there and I was ministering to them about forgiveness, I looked out and I saw these men, you know, these men who have desires and drives and feelings and emotions and all that good stuff, and some of these men, God put them there. God led them to that prison so that He could take everything away from them, so that He could be everything to them. Wow. It is often necessary for God to remove everything from a believer. God removed all of these things from these men in order that He may become everything to that believer. And as they yield to Him, as they allow Him to work in their spirit, then everything becomes, you know, becomes well, and they grow, and there's spiritual growth and development. Many people, you know, they ask, why does God allow bad things in our lives? Well, I will tell you, to show us He is God. To show us He is God. How can we know God is a healer unless we're sick? Oh, why did God allow that person to get sick? Because God wanted to show Himself strong and mighty in that person's life as a healer. Well, God wants to get how can God show Himself to be a provider in our life? Well, if we have everything ourselves and we have a good job and we make all this good stuff, how can we go ahead and how can God show, you know, us that He's a provider? Well, the best way is for Him to take what we have away, and then we can see that He and He alone can go ahead and provide all that we need to bring us back to the place that God wants in our life. God must often take away everything from many believers to show them and to teach them so that God can become everything to that believer. As long as there was water, we do not mind serving God. Amen? As long as there's water, as long as the children of Israel, was happy walking out of the desert and there was water, that was no problem. They were going to follow God and all that good stuff. But when the water ran out, that's when problems became. And it's so true in our life. As long as we have all the blessings and all of the things that God gives us, we don't mind serving God. As long as God showers us with all these spiritual blessings, we are zealous to serve Him. We love the water. Oh, yes, we do. But we do not like to be thirsty. We do not like to be thirsty. Like the deer that panteth for the water. We don't like to be thirsty. Those that hunger and thirst after the Lord shall be filled, the Bible says. We like the water, but we don't like to be thirsty. Amen? For most Christians, as long as God provides, they will serve Him. But what happens when the blessings stop? Most Christians will serve God as long as everything is going fine and everything is going smooth and it's just a wonderful time and it's just me and the Lord and the car works and everything is fine. But what happens when the blessing stops? What happens when things don't work out? Most walk away and go looking for water. What happens when God stops providing things? Most people will walk away from the Lord and they will go looking for water. They will go looking for other blessings. They will go looking for other ways to do things. They will go looking for things that to work out another way. Well, the Lord is not doing this, so now I'm going to try to do it this way. Yes, when the Lord stops giving blessings and showering us with all of the things that we need, those will walk away and go looking for some water somewhere else. But we must always remember that God is leading. God is leading. Israel comes to the bitter water. Well, how did they get there? Well, they got there the same way they got to the Red Sea. God is leading, and they are following. You know, that is the goal in our life. We are to be following as God leads. For God to lead, that means we must be following. If we're not following, that means God is not leading. And God is leading from the front. From the front, never from the back. The shepherd always walks from the front, and the sheep see the shepherd out in front, and they follow the shepherd. And so for God to be leading, that means we must be following. If we're not following, that means we're out there looking for some other water. We're looking for another way to do things. Amen? But that's not a proper place for God to lead anyone. Or is it? Wow. To a place where there's bitter water? Again, I believe it wasn't the water that was bitter. I believe it was the people was bitter. And they could not drink. It says they could not drink water because they were bitter. You know, when we get a bitter spirit, when we get angry, when we get upset, nothing tastes good, nothing goes right. It's just this spirit that we have in us, the spirit of bitterness, and everything that doesn't go right. And we need to work that out of our life. Amen. We must believe that God is leading in the good times and also in the so-called bad times. We must believe that. It's very, very important that we believe that God is leading no matter what happens to us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, have it be in prison or in the hospital or whatever, you know. We may not understand it. We may not like it. I know I wouldn't like it. But, you know, that, you know, whether we like it or not, it doesn't matter. We must come to a place, no matter where we find ourselves, that God is leading us in the good times and the bad times. And He's there for us. Amen. Like us, sometimes Israel is led into bitterness. I don't know about you, but bitterness is not simply in the bitter water, but it was their whole experience. And I don't know about you, there's been times in my life that I have been bitter, and I have experienced bitterness, and it's not good. But, you know, we have to believe that God led us into that bitterness for a reason, and we will look at that reason maybe a little bit tonight. He brought us there, and we must understand that God allowed this in our life, and because He has a purpose and an experience. The bitterness is not simply the bitter water, but it was their whole experience. Their entire 40 years in the wilderness was a bitter experience for them because they never learned the lessons that God wanted them to learn. They never understood. They never got it. They never learned what God wanted to teach them. And so there were 40 years with the time of bitterness. They had been traveling 3 days without finding water. That's what verse 22 says. And now they came into this unfit water, all according to the will of God. Why? Because they were following the cloud. They were following God. How did they get to Myra? They were following God. Amen. Today, sinners repent, surrender their lives to God, and dedicate themselves to following Him. They have a song of victory and joy, Exodus 15, 20, and 21. It's a wonderful song. It's the song of Miriam, where she grabbed the tambourine and she started dancing. The horse and the rider, and he cast it to the sea. And it was a wonderful song of victory. And they stood on the bank and they saw the Egyptians, you know, just wash up, and they were dead. The horse and the rider was a good song of victory. But next month we will learn something else about Miriam in this song. But they had the song of victory and joy. Everything is super good and they're all riding high. Then, 3 days later, 3 days later, or maybe 3 months later, however long it takes, we hear a different song from them. Wow. In this case, the Bible says it was 3 days later. They had this wonderful song of victory. Yes, the Lord is leading. Yes, so we defeated the Egyptians. But 3 days later, a short 3 days later, Moses, why have you brought us out into the wilderness to die of thirst? Whew, wow. What went wrong? How did I get in this mess? Surely I must have backslidden. Have you ever said that? Have you ever had someone? Surely you have said that. Well, that's what Job's friends. Oh, you must have backslidden, Job. Even Job's wife said, oh, Job, you must have sinned. Curse God and die. Well, that wasn't true. Job was in the perfect will of God. God was leading Job all the way through this. Surely I must have backslidden. The cause of the different tune and words are God's leading and their following. 3 days later, they followed, they were just following God, and they came to this place, and they couldn't drink the water because they were bitter. I believe they were bitter. Nothing went wrong. They simply just followed the cloud. So too in our life, when we just simply follow the cloud, when we simply follow the Lord, there will be bitter times in our life. There will be bitter things that will happen to us, just like the children of Israel. And if we don't learn the lessons that God wants us to learn, then those times will be more and more, and they will increase, and the bitterness will increase, and many people will walk away from the Lord and they go out looking for some water somewhere. A friend of Charles Hahn was asked, what is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? And many people say, well, I speak in tongues for an hour, or I do this, or I do that. Well, that wasn't Charles' answer. Charles' answer was troubles. Troubles. Eventually, if we follow our shepherd, we are brought into bitter experiences. And this is okay. Notice Revelation 10:10. Revelation 10:10 here in your notes says, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth, sweet and honey. But notice the end of that verse. And as soon as I have eaten it, my belly was bitter. Well, oh, it was sweet at first. This was a good book. It was sweet at first. Wow. But as soon as I ate it, my belly was bitter. And this is what happens in our life. Did you know that troubles can be our servants? Troubles are our servants. If we allow troubles in our life to get us down and push us out of God, troubles will not be our servants. But if we allow troubles in our life, all of those things that we call bad, and all of those difficult areas in our life that God allows in our life because we're following the Lord, these troubles really are very, they're jewels, they're very expensive, they're priceless in our life, that our troubles in our life can be our servants. We sing a song in the church called Count Your Blessings, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Well, Charles Hahn taught me to sing that song a little different. And he was singing like this, Count your troubles, name them one by one. Count your troubles, see what God has done. Count your troubles, name them one by one. Count your many troubles and see what God has done. The blessings that God brings in our life really doesn't do much for our spiritual growth and development. But I promise you, when we count our troubles, when we count and see the things that God has done in our life, how God has brought us from here to here, as God has brought us as our provider, as God has miraculously moved us from here to here, and we count those, and then we will see the marvelous things that God has done in our lives. So too in our lives, our salvation at first is sweet. Oh, but the longer we go with the Lord, bitter situations and circumstances, again, by God's leading, will come our way. It's kind of amazing how we give our heart to the Lord, and everything is just wonderful, and everything is just going smooth, and all of a sudden, bang, the trouble comes our way. And then either it knocks us out of the Lord, or it knocks us to our knees, and we find out how much we need the Lord in our lives. Amen. Why did he eat something which was going to cause bitterness in his life? Because the angel told him to. The angel told him back in Revelation 10:10 to eat this. Wow. He was following the directions of the angel. Well, why would the angel go ahead and say, here, have all over the sweet stuff and just eat the sweet stuff, but don't eat this, because if you eat this, it's going to be bitter. He didn't say that. He said, eat the sweet stuff. And then later, it became bitter. Why? Because the angel told him to do so. Why did John's experience bitterness? Because of disobedience. I promise you, when we walk in obedience with the Lord, oftentimes we will experience bitterness in our life. And there's a purpose in this. There's a reason for this. John experienced bitterness because of his obedience to the Lord. And he followed the will of God. Wow. Who would want bitterness tonight? Well, no one really wants bitterness, but I promise you, if we walk with the Lord, we will experience bitter things. Even tonight, before the home group meeting, I had some bitterness. I was dealing with bitterness with AT&T, and it's just been an ongoing saga with them, and they're just bitter. It's just bitterness in my life, but that's okay. The Lord is slowly working that out, and we will get the victory even after the home group meeting tonight. And I just thank the Lord for that. And through that, He's going to show me how He is a greater provider for me and for beholding His glory. And I just thank the Lord for that. Why the bitterness? Because you're going to surface bad attitudes and other undesirable traits dwelling within us. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I don't believe he said that. Well, you have to believe it. And that's why God allows, as I said, we're going to get down to why, but that's why God allows bitterness in our life, because we're going to bring to surface bad attitudes, and other undesirable traits dwelling deep within us. Next month, we're going to look at Miriam a little bit. And she had that tambourine, and she was just dancing, and everybody was saying, "Go, Miriam, go! My, what a wonderful, holy woman you are, beating that tambourine and singing that song." Well, we will find out a little bit more about Miriam the next month, and we will see what she's really, really made of. And we will see what that bitterness of walking out in the desert, in the wilderness for 3 days and not being able to drink the water, we will see what surfaces bad attitudes and undesirable traits that was dwelling within her. Trouble always brings to light what is in our heart. Let me say that again. Trouble always brings to light what is in our heart. Not blessings, not the good things. Oh, no. Troubles always brings to light what is in our heart. Good times only masks our motives and desires that are not of God. Good times only masks our motives and our desires and all of those things that are not of God. Troubles always brings the truth out in us. It always reveals who we really are. And we must allow God to refine us and define us. And He uses troubles to do that. Because when He can go ahead and reveal our heart to us through the troubles, then He's able to get some work in us, and we can repent, and then we can grow. Those bad feelings and all of those undesirable traits begin to come out of our mouth, out of the issues of our heart, speaks our mouth. Then we'll be able to allow God to work on us. Do not believe good times is the way to go. You know, yes, good times are good, and the Lord will allow that. But if we're really looking for spiritual growth and development, God will use our troubles, and He will use all of those times in our life to work in our life. So God can use them to deal in our life and help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord is leading. The Lord led the children of Israel into the wilderness 3 days, and they were bitter, and they could not drink the water. And He did that for a reason, because He wanted to show them their heart. Tonight, we need to allow God to show us our heart tonight. We need to allow God, this last couple of weeks in 2013, to allow God to minister to us and find some special time with Him, some time alone, and ask Him just to show us our heart. So we go into 2014, moving forward in God, doing the things that He wants us to do. Pray these things. Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, Lord, we thank You, we praise You for Your love and Your many blessings, Father. Lord, thank You for this word tonight, Father, Lord God. Lord, let this word sink in deep, Father, Lord, all to those that listen over the internet and those that listen on the CDs that go out, Father, Lord, and those that are here, Father, tonight. Lord, just bless this word to our hearts, Father, Lord God. Lord, let this word, Father, Lord God, be some word that we go on into 2014, Father, Lord. We just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. Lord, we ask You to lead us and guide us, Father, into 2014, Father, Lord God. Whatever You have for us, Father, Lord, lead us and guide us, Father, Lord. Give us wisdom and knowledge, Father, Lord God. The ability to shut our mouth, Father, Lord God, and endure the things that You would have for our lives. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.